Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Inglés. Nivel intermedio. Comprensión oral. Tarea 1. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Extract 1.
Effective communications in a presentation, in speaking, are all about things which people think are natural gifts. Things like confidence and charm and being articulate, being intelligent, being in command of information. Now, this worries some people because they may say, well, I haven't naturally got those gifts, just as I may not naturally be a good musician. But these, although these seem like natural gifts, they are things which, in fact, we can learn. We can analyze ourselves, we can analyze the communication process, and we can teach ourselves, or we can learn from others to some extent, how to do these things.
Extract 2.
The most basic thing in all communication is that transfer of information. So in that sense, it's good information, it's confidence about the information, and it's clarity of communication. That's always the essence of what you're doing. In other words, just transferring a fact or an idea from yourself to an audience. But that's not all it's all about. You've got to always, to some extent, I think, sell, and it's a nasty word to use, but that's what it comes down to sell yourself to your audience. You've got to convince them that you are credible.
Extract 3.
The whole question of effective presentations, I think, is to plan in advance. And planning means structuring so that the information is presented in a logical way, so that the information, which may be very complex, is broken down into manageable pieces. But planning also, as I say, has this psychological aspect of knowing your audience, of imagining their reactions before they happen.
Extract 4.
There is a limit to how long people can sit and listen to information and digest it. And in fact, if you really apply this rule of people's attention span, you would always make 20-minute presentations. Of course, it's not always possible. Sometimes you have to do it in 5 minutes. Sometimes you have to talk for 45 minutes. If you have to give a longer talk, you should break it up. You should pause. You should give people an opportunity at certain points to reflect on what you've just said. You can help them to do this, of course, by repeating points. You can help them simply by pausing at certain moments. And if it's a very long process, you have to do this.
Extract 5.
The simple answer is plan and rehearse. It's very, very difficult for anybody to stand up and speak to an audience without proper preparation and without having done it before. I think anybody making any sort of presentation should not just plan it, not just think about the audience and their reaction, but actually rehearse it. That means practice it in advance. And this means basically reading it aloud to yourself, to other people, friends or colleagues, or better still, strangers who can judge it objectively.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 1.
Effective communications in a presentation, in speaking, are all about things which people think are natural gifts. Things like confidence and charm and being articulate, being intelligent, being in command of information. Now, this worries some people because they may say, well, I haven't naturally got those gifts, just as I may not naturally be a good musician. But these, although these seem like natural gifts, they are things which, in fact, we can learn. We can analyze ourselves, we can analyze the communication process, and we can teach ourselves, or we can learn from others to some extent, how to do these things.
Extract 2.
The most basic thing in all communication is that transfer of information. So in that sense, it's good information, it's confidence about the information, and it's clarity of communication. That's always the essence of what you're doing. In other words, just transferring a fact or an idea from yourself to an audience. But that's not all it's all about. You've got to always, to some extent, I think, sell, and it's a nasty word to use, but that's what it comes down to sell yourself to your audience. You've got to convince them that you are credible.
Extract 3.
The whole question of effective presentations, I think, is to plan in advance. And planning means structuring so that the information is presented in a logical way, so that the information, which may be very complex, is broken down into manageable pieces. But planning also, as I say, has this psychological aspect of knowing your audience, of imagining their reactions before they happen.
Extract 4.
There is a limit to how long people can sit and listen to information and digest it. And in fact, if you really apply this rule of people's attention span, you would always make 20-minute presentations. Of course, it's not always possible. Sometimes you have to do it in 5 minutes. Sometimes you have to talk for 45 minutes. If you have to give a longer talk, you should break it up. You should pause. You should give people an opportunity at certain points to reflect on what you've just said. You can help them to do this, of course, by repeating points. You can help them simply by pausing at certain moments. And if it's a very long process, you have to do this.
Extract 5.
The simple answer is plan and rehearse. It's very, very difficult for anybody to stand up and speak to an audience without proper preparation and without having done it before. I think anybody making any sort of presentation should not just plan it, not just think about the audience and their reaction, but actually rehearse it. That means practice it in advance. And this means basically reading it aloud to yourself, to other people, friends or colleagues, or better still, strangers who can judge it objectively.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 1.
Effective communications in a presentation, in speaking, are all about things which people think are natural gifts. Things like confidence and charm and being articulate, being intelligent, being in command of information. Now, this worries some people because they may say, well, I haven't naturally got those gifts, just as I may not naturally be a good musician. But these, although these seem like natural gifts, they are things which, in fact, we can learn. We can analyze ourselves, we can analyze the communication process, and we can teach ourselves, or we can learn from others to some extent, how to do these things.
Extract 2.
The most basic thing in all communication is that transfer of information. So in that sense, it's good information, it's confidence about the information, and it's clarity of communication. That's always the essence of what you're doing. In other words, just transferring a fact or an idea from yourself to an audience. But that's not all it's all about. You've got to always, to some extent, I think, sell. And it's a nasty word to use, but that's what it comes down to sell yourself to your audience. You've got to convince them that you are credible.
Extract 3.
The whole question of effective presentations, I think, is to plan in advance. And planning means structuring so that the information is presented in a logical way, so that the information, which may be very complex, is broken down into manageable pieces. But planning also, as I say, has this psychological aspect of knowing your audience, of imagining their reactions before they happen.
Extract 4.
There is a limit to how long people can sit and listen to information and digest it. And in fact, if you really apply this rule of people's attention span, you would always make 20-minute presentations. Of course, it's not always possible. Sometimes you have to do it in 5 minutes. Sometimes you have to talk for 45 minutes. If you have to give a longer talk, you should break it up. You should pause. You should give people an opportunity at certain points to reflect on what you've just said. You can help them to do this, of course, by repeating points. You can help them simply by pausing at certain moments. And if it's a very long process, you have to do this.
Extract 5.
The simple answer is plan and rehearse. It's very, very difficult for anybody to stand up and speak to an audience without proper preparation and without having done it before. I think anybody making any sort of presentation should not just plan it, not just think about the audience and their reaction, but actually rehearse it. That means practice it in advance. And this means basically reading it aloud to yourself, to other people, friends or colleagues, or better still, strangers who can judge it objectively.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
During my visit, I've been especially honored to meet some of Britain's most extraordinary women, women who are paving the way for all of you. And I'm honored to meet you, the future leaders of Great Britain and this world. And although the circumstances of our lives may seem very distant, with me standing here as the First Lady of the United States of America and you just getting through school, I want you to know that we have very much in common. For nothing in my life's path would have predicted that I'd be standing here as the first African-American First Lady of the United States of America. There was nothing in my story that would land me here. I wasn't raised with wealth or resources or any social standing to speak of. I was raised on the south side of Chicago. That's a real part of Chicago. And I was the product of a working class community. My father was a city worker all of his life, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and she stayed at home to take care of me and my older brother. Neither of them attended university. My dad was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in the prime of his life. But even as it got harder for him to walk and get dressed in the morning, I saw him struggle more and more. My father never complained about his struggle. He was grateful for what he had. He just woke up a little earlier and worked a little harder. And my brother and I were raised with all that you really need: love, strong values, and a belief that with a good education and a whole lot of hard work, there was nothing that we could not do. I am an example of what's possible when girls from the very beginning of their lives are loved and nurtured by the people around them. I was surrounded by extraordinary women in my life. Grandmothers, teachers, aunts, cousins, neighbors, who taught me about quiet strength and dignity. And my mother, the most important role model in my life, who lives with us at the White House.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
During my visit, I've been especially honored to meet some of Britain's most extraordinary women, women who are paving the way for all of you. And I'm honored to meet you, the future leaders of Great Britain and this world. And although the circumstances of our lives may seem very distant, with me standing here as the First Lady of the United States of America and you just getting through school, I want you to know that we have very much in common. For nothing in my life's path would have predicted that I'd be standing here as the first African-American First Lady of the United States of America. There was nothing in my story that would land me here. I wasn't raised with wealth or resources or any social standing to speak of. I was raised on the south side of Chicago. That's a real part of Chicago. And I was the product of a working class community. My father was a city worker all of his life, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and she stayed at home to take care of me and my older brother. Neither of them attended university. My dad was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in the prime of his life. But even as it got harder for him to walk and get dressed in the morning, I saw him struggle more and more. My father never complained about his struggle. He was grateful for what he had. He just woke up a little earlier and worked a little harder. And my brother and I were raised with all that you really need: love, strong values, and the belief that with a good education and a whole lot of hard work, that there was nothing that we could not do. I am an example of what's possible when girls, from the very beginning of their lives, are loved and nurtured by the people around them. I was surrounded by extraordinary women in my life. Grandmothers, teachers, aunts, cousins, neighbors, who taught me about quiet strength and dignity. And my mother, the most important role model in my life, who lives with us at the White House.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
During my visit, I've been especially honored to meet some of Britain's most extraordinary women, women who are paving the way for all of you. And I'm honored to meet you, the future leaders of Great Britain and this world. And although the circumstances of our lives may seem very distant, with me standing here as the First Lady of the United States of America and you just getting through school, I want you to know that we have very much in common. For nothing in my life's path would have predicted that I'd be standing here as the first African-American First Lady of the United States of America. There was nothing in my story that would land me here. I wasn't raised with wealth or resources or any social standing to speak of. I was raised on the south side of Chicago. That's a real part of Chicago. And I was the product of a working class community. My father was a city worker all of his life, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and she stayed at home to take care of me and my older brother. Neither of them attended university. My dad was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in the prime of his life. But even as it got harder for him to walk and get dressed in the morning, I saw him struggle more and more. My father never complained about his struggle. He was grateful for what he had. He just woke up a little earlier and worked a little harder. And my brother and I were raised with all that you really need: love, strong values, and a belief that with a good education and a whole lot of hard work, that there was nothing that we could not do. I am an example of what's possible when girls, from the very beginning of their lives, are loved and nurtured by the people around them. I was surrounded by extraordinary women in my life. Grandmothers, teachers, aunts, cousins, neighbors, who taught me about quiet strength and dignity. And my mother, the most important role model in my life, who lives with us at the White House.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2. Aquí acaba la prueba de comprensión oral. Por favor, siga las instrucciones del profesorado en su aula.